This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is the Annie Fry Show. I'm John Hancock, sitting in today and tomorrow for the lovely and talented Annie Fry, who's enjoying her first few weeks with baby Molly, and we wish her the very, very best. It is, you guys know what today is?
It is the 22nd of June.
Better than that. Okay. Any other guesses? Today is Lars Nootbaar Day.
What?
Yes.
Every day is something. I don't even know what that is.
Lars Nootbaar, the Cardinals, just called him up from AAA Memphis. He's an outfielder.
And, that's a name of a person?
That is Lars Nootbaar. He wore 91 for the Cardinals. He's now in the big leagues for the first time and one of the great names in sports history. Lars Nootbaar, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
How about it?
Never forget that now.
5 home runs, 26 RBIs in Memphis. Lane Thomas was sent down by the Cardinals. And Lars Nootbaar, the newest member of the St. Louis Cardinals. How exciting is that?
That's fantastic, and I hope this is how much I don't know about sports.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about sports, John. That is like one
it's
of
a
my
joke.
Things. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I thought that Lars was the Clif Bar company.
Uh-huh. I did too when he said it.
And then like I thought it was
yeah,
the
it sounds
Clif
like a
Bar.
Brand name.
And I hope that I hope Lars, don't be offended by that.
We love Lars Nootbaar.
Yes.
He's a huge listener.
He's a great American, I'm sure. And I'm sure he's a first-time caller if we get a hold of him today. But yeah, he's gonna be on the roster for the Cardinals tonight in Detroit. So that'll be kind of fun. Well, you know, we were talking before the show, and I don't have a lot of gifts. I do a lot of things not so well, but I don't do very many things well. But one thing I do well, I don't like to talk.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
Is folding clothes. I may be, you know, I try to be humble, but I may be the best clothes folder in this room right now.
Oh snap!
Yeah,
who told you that?
My wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe she told me that because she doesn't like to fold the clothes.
Yeah, it
seems like there'd be a
maybe
motivation
I'm on to,
there.
Maybe I'm coming on to something here. Who folds the clothes at your house, Katie?
I am. David and I both do the laundry,
yeah?
And we both fold and put away. However, I am the superior folder, and I know this because my husband has his own strategy for the clothes,
yeah.
And that is wash them, leave them in the washer for a couple of days.
Well, that's not good.
Wash them again, put them in the dryer, leave them in the dryer for a couple of days.
That's not good.
Dry them, and then maybe a week later is when we get around to folding them, and that's after I nag and say.
No, you got all kinds of wrinkles going on.
Oh, now, we got wrinkles.
Yeah, how about you, Wiggins? Are you a folder?
Well, yes, but only because I have to be. I'm not as good as my wife. That issue that you were talking about, leaving clothes in the washer for way too long and then the dryer way too long, you're not alone in that. But here's another one for the room. Do you guys have a place where once they're done, instead of folding them, you just grab a load and dump them somewhere?
Family room sofa.
Yeah, that's two.
Yeah.
Same
oh,
thing.
No.
Oh, you have to fold them?
I am like, fold them and put them away. I mean, and it's not all at once. It's not like, you know, I put them in. I mean, I am guilty of this as well.
All right. True confessions. This
yes,
is good on the Annie Fry
yes,
Show.
Yes, I am someone that has put them in the washer and then in the dryer and left them in the dryer for a few days and then I'll dry them again and then I'll fold them and put them away. But I don't have a place that they just go for a little bit. After it's the dryer, I take
there's
them out
no,
to the room.
There's no laundry purgatory.
There
here.
Is not a laundry.
241-9797. You want to get in on the laundry talk here. So, you know, now let me ask you this. I'm getting a little personal now.
Okay.
I apologize. Do you dry your blue jeans or do you let them air dry?
That's too personal.
I dry my blue jeans. I like them skin tight.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm.
Nah, I dry them.
You dry them too?
Yeah.
In the dryer.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, when you fold, so you got the crease, right? The little bump on the end of the pant leg, you know what I'm talking about? You got the thing on the two sides. But the crease is between the two things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you fold your clothes with the crease on the outside or with the little bumpy things on the outside?
Mine is crease on the outside.
The bumpy things touch. So the bumpy things come together and you fold. How about you,
Bumpy Lee? Things on the outside.
So you have the bumpy things on
the
outside.
I make the crease. By the way, are you talking about this issue today? Because I'm wearing the tightest jeans I think I've ever worn in my life.
Well, I don't like to talk. You're looking good over there, Wiggy.
I know.
It was all that exercise you got yesterday.
My thighs are huge. All that exercise.
My thoughts are huge.
Well, you know, I told you yesterday I'm down a pant size, so I'm excited about that.
Yes.
Because I'm doing a weight loss kind of thingy for the first time in my life.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm down a bra size. So it's all good. It's going in the right direction. Very happy about that.
So before we move on, is it okay to say that there are, I mean, these are sort of cultural issues we're hitting on here too.
Yes,
because
yes.
Is it okay to say that there are definite gender differences in clothes? I mean, not in clothes,
well,
but like in folding clothes.
I think my guy's onto something
we're all
what are you talking about?
We're all wearing just pantsuits, right? No, I mean like in a household, like I have a bias that for some reason, and I don't know why it is, because I've never been taught this, that's not my job. I know that it is my job, so I still do it. But there's this thing that I have to get past that when I walk past the couch that has all the clothes on
right.
I don't automatically think, oh, that's my job.
Right.
And it's probably just that wasn't my chore growing up.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
yeah.
My chores growing up were things like the trash and, you know, some other things. And that usually wasn't one of them. It wasn't on my list. Maybe that's all it is. But I always tell myself, am I having like a husband bias against laundry because of culture?
No.
You know, honest question. I don't know.
And it's not just laundry. So here, the problem is there's stuff at the house that, like, you'll walk into the kitchen and the dishes aren't done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always assume if I ignore them, it will get done.
The fairy will come.
Because I'm married, you know, and my wife will come in because I usually do the dishes and she'll walk through the kitchen. And she, I'm sure, we've never discussed this, I'm sure she's thinking, he'll do it if I leave it alone. And so you both parties there are guilty of ignoring messes that need to get cleaned up, thinking and hoping that the spouse will do it. That's why we get married in the first place, so that stuff gets done around the house. So, I think that's a common condition, Wiggins.
Well, I think also that my breaking point, and this is probably just for me, this isn't like everybody thing, but I know that my breaking point for when something's messy is way higher than my wife's.
Absolutely. What do you mean? Like, you can
like,
stand
I can
a lot
stand
of messiness.
Mess way okay. longer than she is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I think that is a personal thing. I'm not sure if that has something to do with the set genders.
I bet it does to some extent.
To some extent, sure. Like, maybe, but like, I think a very, like, your individual belief of what is messy and what isn't, I think has a lot to play into it. Just like you said about the chore list, whenever you grow up and you don't have to do those certain set of chores, then, you know, you grow up and think, like, for me, I don't want to mow. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do any of the lawn work. I never had to do that growing up,
work?
And I don't want, I'm lawn not, work. I'm not planning on doing
so,
it.
So 20 years ago, I got pleurisy. That's a long, your lungs get inflamed or whatever. And I told my wife I got it from cutting the grass. And so I haven't mowed the lawn since. So we're at a dinner party years later. And we're sitting there and I don't know, the subject of pleurisy came up and we're happened to be talking to a doctor. And Georgine says, you know, John got it from cutting the grass. And the doctor said, no, you can't get pleurisy from cutting the grass.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally busted. So, okay, right now, you left home this morning. What's the dirtiest room in your house, Katie?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would say the dirtiest space.
Messiest.
Yeah. Not dirty, just messiest. Yeah. The messiest space right now is the kitchen because we just had that Father's Day party
and we're
gradually trying to clean up from having 20 plus people.
Yeah,
over.
That's a.
So
okay.
the kitchen's going to take some time for me and David to get to.
Wiggy, what's going on?
The room that has, like, when you say dirty, I'm thinking,
messy.
Like, which room has the most cockroaches in it right now?
And which does in the house? Let us know.
Right now, that would be the kitchen.
Okay.
Because, and I don't know if there's actually actual cockroaches.
I'll never eat anything that you bring in.
There's always food on the floor because the kids eat cereal and it drips everywhere. And so it's always the kitchen. Like, that's the answer.
Nick, welcome aboard. Nick?
Good morning, folks. Hey. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. What's cooking?
Yes, sir.
Roll your window up, will you?
So, I just did. Yes,
all right,
sir.
Awesome.
So, I was single for 42 years. Okay. When I met my wife now, she had what's called a laundry couch. The laundry went from the dryer to that couch.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I've always been somewhat of a fashionista. I can't stand wrinkled clothes, so I don't live like that.
Huh.
So, like, my collared shirts I wear to work, they all go to the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
They don't ever get washed.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm with you there,
man. That's awesome.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
We do
share the laundry duties.
Well, let me ask you. So you were a bachelor for 42 years, and then you got married. How big was that adjustment?
Quite.
Yeah.
Quite an adjustment.
How long have you been married?
My wife is very understanding.
How long have you been married?
Almost 13 years, guys.
Oh, okay.
Well,
almost 13 years now.
They said it wouldn't last.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You're right. Everybody said that knew me, it won't last.
Well, Nick, happy anniversary whenever that rolls around, and thanks for joining us here on 97.1. That was good to hear from you. That was Nick, ladies and gentlemen. Let's check in with, who is this?
Oh, the call screener is still taking that call.
Oh, the call screener. Yep. You got all these buttons over here.
It's okay. I'll let you know.
Old guy like me, I don't know.
I'll let you know.
It's very difficult when you get to be my age of new equipment.
Good.
Back when we had the old system at KMOX, they just had a wooden box. With 1, 2, 3, 4 big buttons, you
wooden
know?
Box with two tin
cans. Little antenna sticking out of it. You press it, and the caller's on. All right, let me try this now. Hello, whoever you are, you're on the air.
It's Rob.
Oh, it is Rob. Hello, Rob. I can't read from that far away.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's a tough name to pronounce
After 4 years of marriage, I've just taken control of the laundry.
Wow.
Just simply because I have more time than my wife.
Did you say 4 years or 40 years?
40 years.
Oh, wow.
And I just realized that I actually can decipher what is a color, what is white, and what, you know, it's really...
That may be a different issue, Rob. Have you gotten tested for color blindness?
I think my wife has been very happy that I've taken that off her thing to worry about.
Oh, buddy,
She still every now and then will do a load, but she appreciates the fact that I have more time and I utilize it by doing the laundry.
How about that, Rob? Let's hear it. Let's hear it for Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Wait, before we clap, Rob, do you have kids?
I have two daughters that are out of the house now.
Okay, so basically we just applauded you for waiting until your kids were out of the house before you started doing laundry.
How about Wiggins over here?
I did occasional load, but it was very sporadic. I do it for it. So
it's a tough crowd in here. So, you know what?
A couple of husbands out there, get it done.
There you go.
Rob, let me give that man a cigar.
There you
Rob,
go.
A cigar for you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for doing the laundry. What a fine American that was. Well, I tell you what, I didn't think we'd be talking about this stuff today on Lars Nootbaar Day here on the 97.1 FM Talk, the Annie Fry Show. Hey, when we come back, we are going to be joined. No, we're not. We're going to talk about some more stuff when we come back right after this on 97.1.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's John Hancock. I'm in for Annie Fry. It's the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. I'm in having the time of my life in here. I'm starting to get used to Katie's great. We got Wiggy over there, and he's coming
also
in.
Great.
He's got his tight jeans on today. Talking a little laundry. Let's go to Gail. Gail, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm with Katie on the mowing. Growing up, I had a dad and a brother that did the mowing, so I've never mowed in my life.
You've never mowed in your
70
life.
I'm 70 years old. 70 years old. Never mowed in my life.
You've never
there
mowed
you go,
the grass.
Gail.
When I got married, the wedding vows, I said, I do and I don't mow.
Wow.
So take
and
me
so
as
far
I am.
It's worked. We've been married 35 years.
Okay, this is maybe an offensive question, but I'm going to ask it because there's a story behind it. You pump your own gas, right?
I what?
You pump your own gas?
Yes, I do occasionally pump my own gas. Yes, sir.
Occasionally. Yeah. Okay, that's more than I thought because I had somebody ask me a couple weeks ago. It was an older woman. She was waiting. She was trying to figure out the gas pump, and she told me she had never pumped her own gas before.
Gail's only 70. She's
not an old woman. I couldn't believe that there were people that had never pumped their own gas. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I do pump gas.
Okay.
But
Gail,
I don't mow.
Gail, let me tell you something. I mean, this is just John talking to Gail, just to nobody else here. I will tell you, you go out there one day and you mow the front yard, and the time by yourself there and the thoughts in your head and it may be the most relaxing thing you've ever done.
I agree. I concur.
I don't agree, Gail. Don't do it.
Right.
Don't listen to them.
I'll tell you what I do.
Yeah.
We have a yard with a lot of trees in it, and we get a lot of limbs and branches down.
Oh, that's
so
a burst.
I do go out, and I pick up the trash for my husband,
well,
and
nice.
I pick up branches, even at my age.
That's great.
Well done, Gail. Thanks for calling. That was Gail, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't cut the grass. Okay. One of the things I know very little about is investing. You know, I've got a guy, and I say, here's to do something with this, you know. But I really don't understand it. And Wiggins over here is, he's like Carl Icahn, or not Carl Icahn. Who's the guy in Omaha? Warren Buffett. He's Warren Buffett over here with the investment. And so you're telling me about this new, what do you call it, populism in investing.
Yeah, so we were talking about this a little bit before the show, just because I started investing in AMC, because it's this big, everybody's talking about it thing, and it parallels what happened with GameStop in February. So the GameStop thing was a huge news story for like 3 days.
Yeah, because they were going out of business.
It was tanking, and then all these people on Wall Street Bets got a hold of it, which is a Reddit site. It's a bunch of like amateur investors. And it became a news story for a few days. And
right, I remember.
Then like it kind of went away out of the news cycle, but it has remained a thing. And now there are other stocks other than GameStop that are a part of this thing. Now, if you're part of this world, like, I'm talking way down below your level. But if you're not, I thought it might be interesting just to explain. Like, I've been doing a lot of research on what's going on in the investment world since the GameStop story, which did break through. You know, we've all heard about
that. Did you get
that.
In on Bitcoin?
I started to, just because I don't have hardly anything in it. But it's tanking right now.
Right.
Because, I don't know if you know why, but China has started its own, basically its own Bitcoin, its own cryptocourcency.
Darn Chinese.
Oh, wow.
Of course, all comes down to China.
Yeah.
And they are cracking down on any other cryptocurrency. So investors are pulling money out of Bitcoin thinking, oh, well, China's going to have the next big one. And
Boy, does that stink.
I mean, are you kidding me?
That is the worst. That really is crappy. If they're pulling off and they're saying, take our money out of something that was American made and put it back to something that's better.
I mean, ultimately, that is kind of what's happening. But it's people going, okay, well, if a huge economy, they're not doing it because they're like, well, down with America, up with China.
Right.
But they're saying, okay, if China is making its own currency and cracking down on all other cryptocurrencies, then the value of my cryptocurrency is going to go down.
Of course.
So they're not saying, I want to go invest more in China. They're just saying, if one of the biggest economies in the world is not going to use Bitcoin, then the value is going to go down.
I gotcha.
Which it has, but it's kind of stabilized. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it has dropped significantly since early May. So all that's kind of beside the point, but what I wanted to sort of explain, if you had heard about GameStop and you were hearing about AMC, because that's kind of the new one now,
right?
AMC is the new GameStop.
Movie theaters, right? AMC.
Yes.
And so
yes,
the theory is during COVID nobody was going to the movies. Now everybody's kind of gotten their own, you know, they watch the movies at home, and even the production folks are making the movies so that you can just download them and play them at home. But AMC stock is?
AMC stock was going to suffer because of that. Naturally, you'd think, well, you know, the basics of economics would determine that company doesn't look like it's going to be as valuable in the future, even if it does recover from COVID.
Right.
So a bunch of people did what's called short selling on AMC. And this was the world that I was like, okay, heard the terms, don't know what it means. But I thought, now that I've really gotten a grasp of this, I thought I'd explain it. And maybe you guys, you know, if I get ahead, you like slow me down. But
Dr. Wiggins is in the house.
So here's what we're going to do. So ultimately, if I bring it down to like an understandable level, which is where I'm, my understandable level, if you go and say iPad is going to release a new iPad tomorrow, and everybody wants the new iPad and lines out the door at the mall to get one or whatever, and it's cost $800.
$800 for the iPad, the brand new iPad.
Let's say it does.
In theory.
So you go and you wait in line, and you're in the back of the line. You didn't get one.
Story of my life.
They sell out, and you find out your friend Bob did get one because he was first in line, and he's a techie.
Can't stand that guy.
So
horrible person.
He's got the iPad, but he actually didn't even need it. He just bought it because it was the latest thing, and he wanted to have one. Okay, so you're tracking with me.
Uh-huh.
So you go to your friend Bob and you say, hey, man, I know you don't really, you're not even going to use that thing for a couple months. You've still got the previous version. He said, yeah, I just wanted to get it because it's the latest thing. Okay, well, Bob, you paid $800 for that. On eBay right now, they're going for like $1,600.
Huh.
So you go to Bob and you say, let me borrow your iPad.
Yeah.
And I will make basically a contract with you that within 2 months, I know you're not going to use it. So I'll sell your iPad on eBay. I'll give you an extra $100. I'll make $700. 800, 100 goes to you.
Right.
And in 2 months, I'll buy you a new one back from the store when the inventory's back in, and we will have made money. You'll have your iPad. You won't even notice you missed it.
Huh.
And so I will have made $700 on that iPad, and you'll have made 100, and you will have done no work.
And you'll have a new
iPad. And everybody comes out a winner. You'll still have your new iPad because I'll buy it back for you in 2 months. Back from the store, because like they're out of inventory right now, so everybody's flooding. Everybody's trying to get them. They cost more. So I'm going to take yours. Sell it for more. Within 2 months, I'll have you back yours, or whatever time period we determine. Maybe it's 2 weeks, maybe it's 2 months, whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whenever the store is going to have them in for sure, I know I can go back there, buy one for $800, and give it back
now,
to
see,
you.
Now, see, what I would do, I would just take Bob's iPad. I'm so aggravated at that guy. I mean, look, he's gone in there. He's got the iPad. He doesn't even need the darn thing. Why would you give it back to him?
Screw Bob.
I agree.
So that's
probably
the basic principle of short selling is that's how it works.
Okay.
So
that's a good
on
that's
a bigger scale, if you were to take this bigger, and so this is how it fits in with AMC and GameStop. Let's say you are actually very, very wealthy, and you see that your friend Bob bought like 800 iPads, and you know 30 other people that did the same thing.
Oh.
They're obviously not going to use all those. They just have them.
Right.
You go to all of your friends, and you say, look, I'll do the same thing with all of your iPads. Everybody wants them right now. I'll take all of them from you. I'll give you a couple $100 per iPad extra than what you bought it.
Yeah.
And I'll sell and I'll go give you back everything you bought, your 800 iPads back in 2 months. Well, you're kind of you've bought so many at that point that you're actually manipulating the market. You're creating a shortfall that people want them so bad, and you have so many that you can kind of determine how fast you sell them, and you can raise the price maybe even higher than $1,600 because you're determining the market.
Doesn't like, have to do with supply and demand.
It's supply and demand. Yeah. You've created more demand, and you have a ton
that's
of supply.
That's what individual people have done with GameStop and AMC.
Yes.
And they
yes.
and they've all met on social media.
And so
right?
No, actually. It gets more complicated
all
than
right.
that. And this is why it's tough to explain. I'm trying to explain it through iPads.
Let me get
here.
My pen out here.
Yeah.
Take some notes.
So what's happened is let's say there's a whole bunch of people out there who say, oh, I see that this guy over here bought all these iPads or borrowed them all from these people.
Right.
And he's trying to create a false demand for these things. That's short selling.
Yeah.
We are going to now we don't have as much money as that guy does. He's a hedge fund, let's say.
Yeah.
So he has bought all these iPads and he's created this demand for them. That's really a false demand because there's plenty of supply. He's just hoarding it. So we are going to, through the collective power of basically individuals. We don't have his money, but we got a whole bunch of people. This is where it's a populist movement.
And these are the folks that found themselves at on Reddit.
This is the Reddit people and the Wall Street Bets people saying, hey, if we all band together and buy iPads right now, we can drive the price of iPads up so much in the next 2 months, that guy is forced to buy them back at whatever price they are in 2 months.
Right.
So we're going to buy them up and don't sell them. Buy them,
Hold the line.
Hold the line. Mm-hmm. We're going to buy so many that actually affects the market. And we know that that guy will have to buy them back at whatever price we set it
That's brilliant.
And so it's this big movement. And so that's where GameStop was at the moment that it became a
big
story.
So all these hedge fund guys are left holding the iPads.
Yes.
And they're losing money that they would never have done if people hadn't banded together in this populist movement. And that's beautiful.
And it's almost impossible to do. Like, that's why it's focused on individual stocks, because you have to have so many individuals going at this together at the same time to make it work.
Right.
Because these hedge funds, they got huge amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars. There's no way to affect what they can affect on an individual level. But you get enough people together doing it, and you know for sure they have. So they're driving, let's say, quote unquote, the iPad. Instead of having to buy it back at $800, we sold our iPads for $1,600. Now they have to buy them back for like $5,000.
Right.
So they're losing billions and billions of dollars. And right now they're just trying to extend it. And they're basically getting loans and hoping that people will start selling off their iPads.
Right.
How long has this been going on?
So for each stock, it takes the amount of time that the person sort of had the contract with Bob, you know? Mm-hmm. So if it was 2 months.
Yeah, it's been, it's a relatively recent phenomenon.
Yeah, GameStop stuff has been
Yeah, so
recent.
GameStop happened pretty quickly, and it went from like, you know, a couple bucks to now it's like $300 a share or something like that. And so they're expecting that AMC will do the same thing. Now, I am not a financial advisor, but that's the way I see it. And that's the way sort of the apes, they call them online, that are they're brutes. They're going to hold the line no matter what.
It is rare that I learn something while hosting a radio show. It doesn't happen very often. I have learned something today. Will
you? That was awesome.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Isn't that interesting?
It's fascinating.
It's interesting because not just that fact, but it's like it crosses over sort of into the stuff that we talk about every day in politics of this sort of like, the little guy against the big guy thing, like the populist movement of we the people versus they, you know?
Yes.
And it's cool to see it happening in the financial institutions.
And we learned all of this on Lars Nootbaar Day.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I absolutely, for those
thanks,
of you
Lars.
just tuning in, Lars Nootbaar is the newest member of the St. Louis Cardinals. He may make his debut tonight in Detroit. Hey, when we come back on the Annie Fry Show, we're going to visit with the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri, Mike Keogh. What a fascinating story he has to tell. Stick around. It's the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Oh, yeah, you gotta love it. Oh, Katie with the bumper music. Outstanding job. Well,
thank you.
It's the Annie Fry Show. I'm John Hancock sitting here for the next couple hours. It's 97.1 on your FM dial. You can also follow us on Facebook Live, right? Are we on on the Facebook? And we're on the YouTube thing, too, right?
Yep, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. And if you're on YouTube, just look up Annie Fry and you'll see us there.
Well, yeah. And you don't have to look at me either. You can look at Wiggy over there with his tight jeans. Or
that's
Katie.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And you know, if you say the Wiggy. Facebook or the YouTube, it makes you sound younger.
Yeah, that's me, buddy. Yep. I'm up to speed with all that stuff. Well, joining us right now is a good buddy of mine, and I'm just delighted that he's chosen to join us on Lars Nootbaar Day. Wow. He's the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. Governor, how you doing, brother?
John, it's great to hear your voice. And let me just tell you, for all your listeners, when you say the YouTube thing,
yeah,
people definitely realized your age at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to keep up with the kids, Mike.
They think, oh, is he a millennial? Yeah.
Well, they don't call it the YouTube thing, though, big guy. No. So that's the whole problem.
Right. Hey, how was Father's Day? What'd the kids do for you?
It was fantastic. My kids sent me stuff. They're all in different parts of the world right now, or the globe, I should say.
Yeah.
And jobs and interning. We have one interning for Senator Blunt in D.C. and one in Dallas. And so they were in different parts of the globe. So I met them virtually, which is kind of the new thing to do.
Yeah.
But they sent me some nice cards and a gift that I paid for, apparently, when I looked at the credit card report. So Claudia and I had a great Father's Day. I joke and tell everybody, Father's Day, you really reached the best Father's Day ever when none of the kids actually come home and bother you.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And we rode a horse. You'll be happy to know that we rode horses on Father's Day just to celebrate.
Very nice. Yeah, I rode a horse once. I was at Philmont Boy Scout Ranch in New Mexico, and we had this little horse thing, and my horse ran my knee up the butt of the horse in front of me, and that was the last time I ever rode a horse. But we digress. There's nothing like having that horse stuff on your knee.
Boy, it's a slow news day, isn't it, if you were talking about this?
Well, it's Lars Nootbaar Day. He's the newest member of the St. Louis Cardinals, Mike.
So the answer is yes.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Mike Kehoe, I've known you for, gosh, forever. I've bought three cars from him. I think he's one of the finest people I've ever known. But I bet a lot of people don't know the Mike Kehoe story, and I'll bet a lot of people would be surprised that our lieutenant governor started off his life right here in St. Louis.
Well, John, that's kind of you. Yes, we started in North City, St. Louis, in the Walnut Park, Baden area. My dad left when I was a year old. My mom raised six kids by herself, and so she's a saint in all of our minds. And my life was rescued when a guy named Dave Sinclair, a few people might have heard his name in the St. Louis area, brought me into wash cars when I was 15 and took a bi-state bus, that's what we called it in those days, down to Sinclair Ford from North St. Louis to South County. And the rest is kind of history. Mr. Sinclair was an incredible mentor to me, and my mom and Dave and Pat both were very good friends from childhood. And he helped me get a manufacturing business in Lynn, Missouri, that we built some final stage products for Ford, GM, and Dodge, still in business today. And then also helped me get the acquire the Ford and Lincoln dealership in Jefferson City a little over 30 years ago. So huge influence on my life. I didn't know a horse from a cow when I was a kid, but he also got me into farming, and we're a first generation farmer that's had a farm about almost 35 years now. So we've been very blessed, John, and had a lot of good people that helped us along the way. And never did I think I'd be in politics, or as you say, you know me for a long time, did I want to be in politics, but you know, bumped my head and here we are.
Well, and you know, you're a little humble because he started washing the cars, guys. And then he, you know, he had a kind of a knack for selling the trucks, and so he became a truck salesman. Then he became the head of the truck sales division at Sinclair. And then they had this van conversion business in the middle of Missouri, and it was losing money. And it was owned by, I think there were 19 Ford dealers in St. Louis that all owned this thing together. It was losing money, and they sent Mike down there. He turned the thing around. Today, it's the third largest ambulance manufacturing company in America.
Wow.
And Mike sold it to the employees when he became a dealer. He became the youngest Ford dealer in the country, 28 years old. And he's in the Automotive Hall of Fame. Just an incredible story. And you think about a guy that has come from North St. Louis, a single mom, six kids, literally nothing, to a highly successful business person. And now he's a farmer. And I mean, it's an actual farm. You know, like if I had a farm, there wouldn't be anything growing on it. And there wouldn't be anything living on it. But you've got a cow-calf operation going on out there, right?
Yes, we do. And that's kind of you to say all those nice things about me, John. You're right. I don't like good Lord's been good to my wife and I. And so we just count our blessings. But, yeah, our farm is a working ranch. We're a mama cow operation. So we have calves once a year. We're a fall calver for people in the cow business out there, and sell those calves the following spring or summer. And then we have a handful of horses, and then we put up Bermuda grass hay. It's kind of a rare hay for Missouri, but we're a hay, large hay producer for down in that area for horse and cattle people.
Well, there you go. You know, one of the things the legislature tackled this year, and as Lieutenant Governor, you preside over the state Senate. The Second Amendment Protection Act has been kind of controversial. The Biden Justice Department has gone off on it. Where do you stand on that thing?
I think anything the Biden Justice Department disagrees with is pretty good for me to agree with most generally. But the SAPA Act, you know, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, just really solidifies our citizens' rights abilities under the Second Amendment to, you know, be able to push back on federal overreach. And I think that's the people who sponsored the bill here, both in Eric Burleson in the Senate and Jared Taylor in the House. Governor Parson signing, and I was at that bill signing, actually. It just ensures, enshrines people's rights as Missourians that the Second Amendment in our U.S. Constitution awarded us. And I think it's a very sacred right. It's something that we don't want to look lightly at, and we want to protect our citizens' ability, law-abiding folks, to be able to have and bear arms.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe on the phone with us. So one of the things that we've talked about a lot here on 97.1, we hear from listeners, is that they want to see more action on voter integrity laws. That's not something that's been passed so far. My question for you, Mike, is how much control do you have over kind of what makes it to the forefront and what doesn't?
Well, my previous job when I was in the Senate as floor leader, I had a lot more. They called me the traffic cop in those days. But in the lieutenant governor's role, is to preside over the Senate. So I, although I'm technically not labeled with the person that is suggesting or directing where bills go and when they get heard on the floor, I work very closely with Senate leadership, both Dave Schatz from Franklin County, from Sullivan, Missouri, and Caleb Rowden from Columbia is the floor leader. And we try to work together as much as we can on where the best spot is to try to hear those bills and get moved forward. I know we needed additional action this year that we didn't get done, but I believe we will get done on voter integrity. That's something that's very important, and we've seen some, unfortunately, some abuses on that issue in other parts of the world. We want to make sure Missouri continues to be the leader and that everybody who is a citizen has the ability to vote, but not more than that.
You know, one of the things that I have noted over the course of the last year and a half as we've dealt with the pandemic is how differently Republicans in Missouri, you and Governor Parson, handled and managed through the pandemic, contrasted with, say, Governor Pritzker next door. And the economy and the state's economic metrics are proof that we did the right thing.
Yeah, you know, John, I think at the end of the day, I don't believe, and I know the governor didn't believe, and the people he had surrounding him, that, you know, government is not the solution to everything. We should be there to protect citizens' health and public safety. And obviously, Governor Parson, I think, took those concerns to heart. But you also don't want to shut things down to the point where the economic loss and the loss of business and the loss of jobs is worse than the pandemic. And so the governor very much was a proponent of non-statewide mandates. If local control people thought that they locally they needed some certain sort of mandate or task or, you know, different things that would affect business, they were obviously had the ability to do that. Now, we've passed some legislation that kind of throttles that just a hair this session. But for the most part, the governor believed that letting Missourians make a decision on whether they should wear a mask, whether they should get vaccinated, all the things that are the indicators that some other states were very draconian on, I think it was the best approach. And to your point, our economy is seeing that. We added 10,000 jobs during the pandemic. Our unemployment rate is fifth best in the United States. Our general revenue coffers, as you remember from your days here, are doing quite well. Businesses are reporting, you know, pretty much across the board that they're improving and getting back to pre-pandemic levels or better. And the only problem we've had is businesses trying to find employees to come to work. And so that is a process that we've been working through. We took some action. The governor took some action to and federal unemployment participation about a week ago on June 12th. So we're trying to make sure employees understand there's plenty of openings out there. There's employers that are willing to hire you. It is a market. If you're looking for a job, this is an incredible market for you to be looking.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, before we run out of time, it's funny you kind of went right into the subject I was going to ask you about, and that's the worker shortage. The legislation to take away the federal unemployment, not local unemployment, federal extra benefits is, I think, expired now. I think it was set to expire at the beginning of this month. Have we seen much change in that in Missouri statewide? You know, is it getting better?
Yes. So as John knows, when we're not in session, and we're going back into session tomorrow at noon, but I travel the state extensively, and I don't care what business you talk to. It's a manufacturer, if it's a nursing home, if it's a restaurant, it doesn't matter. The first thing when I ask them how's business, they say, well, we can't find anybody to work. Yeah. If you follow a couple of independent organizations like NFIB, National Independent Federation of Business, some of those folks who track their members every day, they're saying they're seeing an incredible uptick in applications and interest in open jobs that they have. So that's one indicator. But just me talking to people, and this is not scientific, but just going around and talking to people, almost like a light switch around June 10th, about 2 days before the federal benefits ended, folks start seeing they were seeing a lot more foot traffic coming in, applying for those open jobs. And we believe more Missourians will be able to work and keep these businesses going at a better level, which is good for everybody, by the way.
So my kid was turning 16. This would have been 11 years ago. And I was going to get him a car. So I called my Kia and I said, here's what I got to spend, which wasn't much. And have you got something? He said, yeah. He said, I've got a Buick Regal here, used Buick Regal. And it was probably, what, 7, 8 years old at the time. He said, this car is a sweet car. And so I bought it. That car ran for 10 years after that. And then I gifted it to somebody at church, and they drove it for another 4 years. So if Mike Kehoe tells you something's good, it's good. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
We didn't charge you enough for that car, by the way, John. I've been meaning to tell you that.
You'll get me next time. That's Lieutenant Governor.
It's a pleasure to join you. It's a pleasure to join you guys. I really appreciate it. Hello to all my St. Louis friends and family. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day. Hey, next hour is another hour here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you around the corner right here.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.